Welcome once again to the Random Wrestling Review, and it is Bracket Mania 3 today. Previously, we of course have done the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, which was won by Gunther, and the greatest stable of all time, which was won by the Bloodline. What am I talking about? I wasn't Gunther who won the Intercontinental Championship one. It was Razor Ramon. I'll tell you what reason I did that. It's because I've got a little spreadsheet which has got all the results on, and it only went as far as showing the Gunther in the final, and I couldn't see Razor Ramon. Razor Ramon won the Intercontinental Championship tournament, and the Bloodline won the stable competition. So we've got another one today, and today it is Shawn Michaels matches. And joining me today to decide who wins this Bracket Mania 3, we've got first of all Old Man Sam Kerry.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. You are enjoying some chocolate there, I see.
I am. It's hazelnut. Delicious.
Hazelnut? What brand of chocolate is this?
Lindt.
Lindt. Oh, that's very fancy.
Yeah, it's actually vegan chocolate. So since I've been vegetarian, what will happen is that my dad will buy like chocolate and that for us for Christmas and stuff like that. So he bought a little chocolate this year. He's always bought me vegan chocolate since. And I'll tell you what, the level it's improved in the, eight, nine years that I've been vegetarian has been astonishing. This is fucking delicious. Lindt, vegan smooth hazelnut. Come on, Lindt, chuck us some bunts.
And we've also got Rockstar Alex Kirkman with us today. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I thought we were doing a chocolate bracket mania then.
Chocolate. Oh, that. Well, we may have already done that, to be honest, in our personal life. So I can't promise that we haven't.
I will say I have been mithered all week by the other horse, Stephen Coriander, who was desperate to get on this show to do this bracket mania. And I told him to, no, do one. He can do the Will Ospreay bracket mania if we ever do one.
No, in the words of Old Man, we ain't doing that much.
Yeah. Also, it's hard to get 16 good matches that he's been in, isn't it? Has he even done 16 matches?
And Shawn Michaels is light years ahead of Will Ospreay.
He's gonna love that. You're the first person I've ever heard use the word mither, Alex. And I had to just I had to look it up because you've said it about four or five times on the pod already. And I was like, what is this fucking word?
I know.
Well, make
I
remember a fuss or moan, apparently.
Yeah. I remember when I was messaging desperate to get on the show and I said sorry to mither, and I think the reply that I got back was, what does mither mean? Yeah, it must be a northern thing.
Oh, it does say here Northern English, yes.
There was another, what was it on the WhatsApp group as well? I said something was bobbins, and Tom said,
I'd heard that. I don't know what
does bobbins mean. I thought everyone must know what bobbins.
I don't know what Tom was talking about there. Everyone knows that.
That's all right. Oh, that's
so here's one. Do you know what gubbins is?
Yeah, it's like an all. If someone says an all that gubbins, it's like kind of extra stuff, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like years ago, an old manager that I had at work actually used it in like a proper sentence. And I was like, it's not a proper word, mate. And she was like, she had about 30 years on me. Actually, not that many. But yeah, she was like, no, it is. And then explained to me exactly what you did. And I was like, bloody heck. How about that? Give us some bloody vegan chocolate, you cow. Come on.
Well, for her to be 30 years older than you, she must have been fucking ancient, mate. The old ones are the easiest.
Well, yeah, because that's why your mum's so easy.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wow. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Spindler.
Wow. Okay. Let's move on as quickly as we possibly fucking can, shall we? So, yeah, we are doing Bracket Mania 3 today. And this comes out, as long as plans stay exactly as they are, this will come out on night two of WrestleMania XL. One week ahead of our WrestleMania XL night one review. That's when this will come out. And I guess it makes sense that we're talking about Mr. WrestleMania on that particular date. So we're going to go into the brackets now. For anyone who doesn't know how this works, we were doing a couple of them, but basically we have each nominated three matches to be a part of the brackets, the tournament brackets that we're about to go through. I've only nominated one, but Old Man, Stephen, Alex, Matt and Tom all nominated three each. And those 16 have then been randomly drawn into some brackets. Then we're going to do the brackets now. We're going to basically, whoever wins each match goes through to the next round, and then they face whoever they're supposed to face is according to the brackets. If it's not clear, then you'll find out as we go through how this works. And we start with match... Oh, our Old Man looks a little bit confused, but then, you know, that's his usual resting place. So.
No, I was going to say, you need to get in the bloody archives, kids. Come on, get in the archives.
Can you say Shayna Baszler in that accent for me? Oh man.
Shayna Baszler.
That wasn't quite how Alex does it, unfortunately. I much prefer Alex's version of that.
Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
You know what I was comparing it to? It's like when Peter Kay says garlic bread. That's the kind of same effect I get from it. That's the same effect. Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler.
For years and years and years, whenever you went on holiday and you get chatting with people, oh, where are you from? From Bolton. Hey. Garlic bread for fucking years. Fuck off. Your garlic bread. Fuck
off. Next time someone asks you to do it, just say Shayna Baszler instead.
Yeah, I'll do that instead, yeah.
So I don't know whether Tinky ever got this, but when Paul Whitehouse was doing the, I think it was NFU or it might have been Norwich Union adverts, and he was a stereotypical Devon farmer and he supported Plymouth. So he went, Green Army. On the other,
yeah.
I went away to a few Bristol City games in various places around the country. The amount of times you get that, they'd be like, Green Army, and it's like one person that I had to explain to them, I was like, you know, it's Devon in Plymouth, yeah, like we play in red, not green. They just said Green Army and then walked off, which I respected.
Right, so the brackets. And the first match is Sid from Survivor Series 1996, or Shawn Michaels versus Sid from Survivor Series 1996, against Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon from SummerSlam 1995. So not the WrestleMania 10 match, the SummerSlam ladder match. So the first of these was nominated by Steven out of protest. I think Steven only nominated it because in the match, Sid gets cheered and Shawn Michaels gets booed, even though Shawn Michaels is the babyface. And Razor Ramon at SummerSlam 1995 was nominated by me, because I had the last choice of everybody. So this is an interesting one. This is how the brackets works, because these are a couple of underdogs right from the get-go. Shawn Michaels matches with Sid and Razor Ramon from SummerSlam 95 this time. I will talk about Razor Ramon SummerSlam 95 match, because it's often talked about as being better than the WrestleMania 10 match, or it's one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, people like to kind of be contrary and say the second match is better. I do think it's a great match. I don't think it's any less than the WrestleMania 10 match, except for the fact that it comes second. That's the only reason it's any less than the WrestleMania 10 match. It's really, really, really good. The one thing I seem to remember is that originally, funnily enough, that this match is against his match against Sid, is that this match at SummerSlam 95 was originally supposed to be Shawn Michaels versus Sid. I'm pretty certain that they were originally going to have Shawn Michaels versus Sid. And then at the last minute, for whatever reason, they changed it to Shawn versus Razor, and whoever won the match would then face Sid the next night on Raw, I think was the stipulation. But I was like, that's such a shame, because they could have carried on with Shawn Michaels versus Sid, bearing in mind that in 95, Shawn Michaels' big feud was against Sid. He'd been feuding with him since the night after WrestleMania 11. And then had Razor versus Shawn in a rematch from WrestleMania 10 in a ladder match in the main event of the next In Your House. Like, that just made much more sense to me, and it could have been the focal point of the whole show. Anyway, it's a really decent match. Obviously, Shawn gets his victory at this point. Shawn and Razor are both babyface, so that's perhaps one thing that does affect it a little bit, is babyface versus babyface, and the crowd are a little bit split, and that's not always, sometimes that's good, sometimes it doesn't always make for the best atmosphere. And it was a match I had on VHS because I had that show. I always used to think it was a pretty good show, but when you look at the card, actually it's pretty rotten. But this is the undoubted highlight of the night, and it's a really good match. Anyone want to talk on behalf of Sid versus Shawn at Survivor Series 96?
I'll talk about it. It's a cracking match. I remember watching it. Now, 1996 was when I took a bit of an absence from wrestling, so I've only watched it kind of retrospectively. I didn't know that the crowd went against Shawn Michaels, and they fucking go against him. It is very pro-Sid. And I remember watching it, and I've not seen it for a long time. From memory, it does affect Shawn Michaels in his performance. You can tell that he's visibly pissed off about it. And I remember watching it thinking it didn't seem right that people were booing Shawn Michaels and cheering Sid. That aside, it is a good match. It is a really good match from memory. It's the main event, isn't it, as well? It's the main event, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was really weird. Really weird seeing people boo this babyface Shawn Michaels, even though he was a proper prick at that time. This is a tough one, this, to kick off. It's a tough one. Really
well,
tough.
He was, of course, this is one of those things where I always sort of point to, and it's not that far ahead of the Attitude Era, I suppose, but it's one of those things where I point to and go, look, crowds were already quite rebellious in the 90s at times, you know. It wasn't just this isn't a modern phenomenon, you know. fans shitting on the current babyface champion. Like, he's been doing it for ages. Bob Backlund got it in the early 80s, for crying out loud. Like, it's a well-established thing. And obviously this match was at Madison Square Garden as well, as far as 1996. So that was another kind of factor in it. I understand as well, again, another match that wasn't actually supposed to happen. It was supposed to be Shawn Michaels versus Vader, I think, in their third match, because they'd wrestled each other at SummerSlam. There was supposed to happen, well, it might have been their second match. I think there's supposed to be the rematch after the SummerSlam confrontation, yeah. And then they changed it, and I think the third one was supposed to be at Royal Rumble, which obviously ended up being Shawn Michaels and Sid.
From memory, that SummerSlam match, I think Michaels fucking hated it and hated working with Vader.
Yeah, he did.
And I think he probably said, I ain't working with him again.
Yeah, I think that's what happened, basically. Yeah. He just decided he wasn't going to do it. And Sid looks like an absolute superstar in this match. He comes out to such an amazing reaction, and it's kind of just part of this mythology around Sid. It's like he's just this... so strange, like he's rubbish, like his in-ring is rubbish, he's really can't do it at all, but his character's so amazing. And then he has this match, and you're like, okay, it's with Shawn Michaels, so it's, you know, it's predisposed to be decent, but he just looks like a star doing it. He just looks like amazing. And that's the thing, like, I think successive promoters got carried away with Sid, was just he looked great and he played his character superbly.
This is a 20 minute match with Sid in, and and it's better than passable. I was just, when you guys were chatting, I was just making sure I was remembering the same match. And it's just a very tidy little outing, I think. I think, for me, it deserves almost more credit, and this isn't necessarily where I'm going to go, almost deserves more credit than the Razor Ramon match, because at this stage in Razor Ramon's career, I think he probably could have had a decent match with one of us. Like, he was right on the top of his game, probably better than he ever did it again, I think, because his much publicized issues, I think, probably hadn't taken full effect at this point. Yeah, it is a tough one. Like old Rocky said, old Rocky Rockstar. Tough.
Rocky Rockstar.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. It's not just passable. This is a really good match. And to be honest, even though I said Stephen probably put it in there just as a kind of F you to Shawn Michaels, when I was thinking about it, like, for example, there's one match that is not on the shortlist, didn't make the bracket, is the match against Shelton Benjamin on Raw, for example. And there are probably other examples of matches which are probably technically better than this, but this for me is in the top 20 or so most memorable Shawn Michaels matches, and therefore I think it does deserve its place in the bracket, definitely. So I'm going to ask you to vote now. I'm going to start with Alex. Piling the pressure on him. He don't know where to go.
Yeah. Right, okay. I haven't seen these matches for a long time, so I'm going to vote. If I was to pick one of these to watch right now, I would go for Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, SummerSlam 95. I love a ladder match. Love the one at WrestleMania. And from memory, I love this one just as much. I really enjoyed the Sid match. I remember watching it. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, I'm going to go Shawn Michaels Razor at SummerSlam 95. But that is a tough one to kick off that.
Oh, man.
I'm going Sid. And it's so interesting. So this will be, I think, what you've just said, Rockstar. Sorry, Rocky Rockstar, to give you your full name. Yeah. Which would I sit down and watch? So I'm sat on the sofa at the moment. If I was to grab the remote, go onto the network, which I'm now begrudgingly paying for, which would I watch? And it would be Sid and the Heartbreak Kid. Oh, look at him. Oh, yes.
I am very torn here. It's really strange. I have no idea which way I want to go. I'm going to go with... I think I'm going to go with Sid. I there's something about the match. I really do love how Sid comes across in just on his entrance, and the fact that the crowd are all over, like, completely opposite to where they really should be, just makes it more exciting. It's just great, and it is without a doubt, it's got to be the best match in Sid's career by a mile. Got to be. So yeah, I think I'm going with Sid. So, but it was that was a tough choice.
And I
did think, you know, SummerSlam 95 is quite an important part in my kind of wrestling fandom, that, because it was one of those early kind of VHS of that.
Yeah, I think it's fair that as well, because I'm assuming that the other ladder match is in there. So there's a Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match still to go through, possibly in the bracket. So I think that's fair with Sid. Possibly.
You never know what's going to come up against, do you?
That's fucking true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The match number two is Vince McMahon from WrestleMania 22 which was selected by Matt, or a pick from Old Man, Undertaker from WrestleMania 26.
Oh.
So, Old Man, do you want to talk about the Undertaker match?
Well, it was the impossible task, wasn't it? So it's the second in the pairing after WrestleMania 25, which is, we'll get to 25, but with WrestleMania 26, I think it became obvious pretty much the night after WrestleMania 25 that this was probably where they were headed, and they managed to work a really excellent story out of it. And I can remember on Raw when The Undertaker said, yeah, I'll face you, but I want your career. And as has been said before, me, Tom and Tinky were there, were going to this WrestleMania, and I can remember thinking, I was like, Jesus Christ, we're either going to see the streak end or we're going to see Shawn Michaels' last match. As it was, we didn't either. But at the time, we thought we'd seen Shawn Michaels' last match. And it was in the main event spot. And it was pretty obvious what was happening. But they still got us. Still got us. I think pretty much everyone in that stadium was on the edge of their seat. And it is just a masterpiece in, I think, storytelling as well. Because you've got The Undertaker doesn't want to end it. He doesn't want Shawn Michaels to keep coming back because he doesn't want to have to basically end him effectively. And it's beautifully done. And they've kind of done that story with Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 24. But it just worked. That's a magnificent match, but it works so beautifully in WrestleMania 26. I just think it's an absolute, it's not a masterpiece in terms of a match, but I think in terms of storytelling and emotion, I think it's as perfect as you can get.
Who's going to take Vince? I could barely remember it, if I'm honest. The thing that I can remember is that WrestleMania 22, I remember before we sat down to watch it for our review of that, which is in the archives, and thinking on paper, WrestleMania 22 looks dreadful. But actually, it's a really decent, it's really quite a decent show. And part of that is definitely Vince versus Shawn.
And I remember listening to you guys talk about it, and I thought exactly the same, because on paper, it is absolute dog shit. And at the time, the build for this was the Shawn Michaels and God versus Vince McMahon, and it was just fucking awful. Just an awful, awful kind of storyline. And I wasn't invested at all in the match. And I remember watching WrestleMania. I weren't invested in most of the match of WrestleMania 22, but I watched it. And I thought exactly the same. I think it's a cracking little WrestleMania. And for that reason, I think I wasn't expecting much. And I think the epitome of that is this match, because I wasn't bothered about watching it. And it's a cracking match. From memory, it's definitely one of the best, if not the best on the show. And it's just madness. And it's the same thing that you said about Vince McMahon, obviously, the 26 match aside, and the fucking shit one with Pat McAfee. Everything he does is pretty good. His matches are pretty good, and this is no different. It's a great little match. It's just a shame that he's up against one of the big hitters.
It's good because his matches are good because he recognises his weaknesses in the ring.
Yeah.
And makes absolute damn sure that they are hidden as best as they possibly can be. And he's got the power to do that, obviously. So it's not like he's a genius. He's just got freedom to do what the hell he wants to do. I guess the only way I can argue for the Vince match is by arguing against the Undertaker match a little bit. And in my opinion, it's not as good as the first WrestleMania match between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. I know that that's not a universally held opinion, even amongst the people that are on this podcast. But I just think that it suffers from coming after 1 year after that match, because it can't possibly live up to the same level of drama and the same level of near falls and all the rest of it that the first match does. And so it does, the edge is taken off of it a little bit. Like the first match, and we're getting into this later on, but it's pretty much from 5 minutes in, it's edge of your seat, standing up kind of stuff. This takes a lot longer to get to that point. It's a good 15, 20 minutes in before they get there. Yeah, that's about the best I can do to fight for Vince McMahon's match here. Let's go to the vote. Rockstar, let's start with you.
It's got to be Taker, hasn't it? Undertaker, WrestleMania 26.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, unanimously, 3-0 victory. Undertaker at WrestleMania 26 is through to the quarterfinals. So next up, it's Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24 or Undertaker at Bad Blood in Your House, the Hell in a Cell match.
I think that was mine, wasn't it?
So yeah, Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24 was one of yours, old man. And yeah. Undertaker Bad Blood was indeed one of yours, Alex. So we've got you two pretty much head off here. I can just listen to you guys talking about these matches. Let's start with you, old man, Ric Flair.
So you had, by the time WrestleMania 24 came around, a Ric Flair, purely because of age, pretty much incapable of having even a passable match. I think that feels almost sacrilege to say, given what high esteem he's held in, but it's the truth. But the thing for me with this match was the build. I think the build is extraordinary because it is Shawn Michaels goading Ric Flair. And I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast. When he compares, when Shawn Michaels compares Ric Flair to Old Yeller, now he's going to take him out of the back and he's going to finish him off. It's absolutely brilliant. And Ric Flair, his reaction to that, it's so emotional and so unforced, whereas I think a lot of Ric Flair stuff had almost become comedy forced because of the position that he'd been put in, like where he was effectively Shawn Michaels' lackey, and Ric Flair was magnificent at that. But they had to get past that within the storyline leading to this match, and with that promo segment they manage it. And I think the match is astonishing, really, that Shawn Michaels is able to get Ric Flair through it to the level that they do, and to get the emotion at the end where Ric Flair, and I know there's lots of people mock it, but when Ric Flair is calling him on, and obviously Ric Flair was a major part of heel Ric Flair's work was crying off, and here he was stood up in the face of someone who was definitely going to beat him, and he's calling him on. He's like, come on, come on. And he's just about starting to cry, and then old Shawnee Mikes goes, I'm sorry, I love you. Super kicks him, and it's done. And it is beautiful. I think it is an absolutely beautiful thing. And it is, for me, something that wrestling can do, for me anyway, emotionally, that not many things can. And I'm not a Ric Flair guy at all. Never have been, never will be, I don't think. But God, they got me that night. I had a little cry when I watched that the first time. It was beautiful.
Lovely, lovely stuff, old man.
Thank
touched,
you.
Touched. Alex.
I said earlier that I've took a bit of a time off with wrestling from 96, 97. And I got back into it watching Royal Rumble 98. And one of my biggest, I don't know whether regrets is the right word, but we'll stick with regrets, is watching Royal Rumble 98 and watching the Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in a casket match. And the video package at the start is Todd Pettingill. And he says the last time these two met, they went to hell and back. And then they showed a montage of this match. And I had no idea what this Hell in a Cell was. And I was watching this montage of this match where there was a cage with a roof on it. And I was desperate to watch it. Because I was just hooked from watching that video package. And my regret is that I wish that I'd watched that match live. And I wish that I'd seen it. Because when I watched it, talk about innovative. And it had me on the edge of my seat watching it. And bear in mind, I'd seen a video package. So I knew what was going to happen. I knew that Kane was coming in. I knew who won. And it is absolutely incredible. It's incredible. For me, it's the best Hell in a Cell match in history. It's better than King of the Ring 98. Everything about it, the storytelling, the debut of Kane. I even love the end where they're on the floor, beaten, not moving for ages, and Triple H and China come out. And it's like they break character. It's not like Triple H and China. It's like Paul Levesque and Joni Laurie, I think she's called, coming out to see their friend, to make sure that their friend gets backstage. The bump on the table is incredible. For me, I was probably more shocked at that than I was the one at 98, because I've never seen it before. It is absolutely incredible. And again, this is extremely tough, because I agree with everything that you say, Sam, with regards to the Ric Flair match. And I am not a Ric Flair guy, most overrated wrestler of all time in my eyes. And it's not even the build, even the aftermath with Batista, the feud with Batista and Shawn Michaels. It's fantastic. But for me, with the amount of Hell in a Cell matches that there's been, this is the original, and it's still the best Hell in a Cell match. So, I mean, I know where I'm going, but that this is another tough one. Fucking hell, this is tough.
This is really tough because there's a lot that I could say for both of them, to be honest. I mean, I'm actually almost exactly the same in terms of my experience or experiencing the Undertaker Bad Blood match through Royal Rumble 98 first. I'm pretty much exactly the same. Saw that and then was like, oh, wow, that looked amazing. Although I was aware of it having happened because I still kept up to date with stuff through magazines and stuff, but I hadn't seen it. And then I saw the highlights of the Rumble. But it is a phenomenal, phenomenal match. It's an amazing piece of work. I mean, regardless of whether it's better than the Foley match at King of the Ring 98, which I think is incomparable in many respects to pretty much anything else. I don't really think you can compare it in some ways. It is amazing. It's one of the best matches in WWE's history. The Undertaker Shawn Michaels match, I think, Bad Blood. But then the Ric Flair match, to think Shawn Michaels could get that out of Ric Flair, yeah, or anyone could get that out of Ric Flair at that point in his career. Like, legitimately, most people who know what they're talking about were saying that Ric Flair's last great match was in 1992. And this is 2008. 16 years later, and he manages to get that. Like, I just, that's phenomenal. I mean, like, this is where you start to look at, you know, we've talked a lot about whether Shawn Michaels is any good in the ring or how good he is in the ring because of obviously Steven's catchphrase. But this is where you actually, when you stop and you think about it, and you go, fucking hell, he got that out of Ric Flair in 2008. And then you start to think, well, come on, now you really have to think about what you're actually saying here. It's going to end up being a kind of instinctual pick when we vote. So I'm going to kind of hand over the votes to you two first and then make my choice.
Rocky Rockstar has had to vote first for the first two, so I'm happy to go. So I wanted to have a little say about the Hell in a Cell, because I agree with you entirely. It's the best Hell in a Cell match because they were put in a brand new position, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and they work it absolutely magnificently. I think it's far less gimmicky than the matches have needed to become. I do also think that it is probably held in such high esteem, incorrectly in my view, because of Kane's debut. But that does impact, I think, overall where I'm going to vote. So I'm going to go for Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels from 24, but it is by the narrowest of margins.
I'm going to go for the Bad Blood match. I picked it. Again, it is the best Hell in a Cell match. And I'm the same as you. It is the narrowest of margins because it's just the simple story of that Ric Flair match before and after is incredible. The best retirement angle that there's been, bar none. So, but yeah, there's a reason why I picked Undertaker Bad Blood. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to put Ben in a right difficult position there. Sorry, mate.
I love the story after the retirement match. I absolutely love it. I do really love that. I thought that was just so good. That's exactly what I want from wrestling, like a logical next step. What can you do to come out of that where there's an issue between two people? And that makes perfect sense. Someone else is pissed off that Shawn Michaels would retire Ric Flair. Like, it just makes such perfect sense to me. It's absolutely exactly what I want to see from wrestling. But the Undertaker match did spawn Kane and the feud that they would then have, and in fact the entire dynasty that match created a guy that would be a star in the company for the next 20 years. Like, that's the legacy of that Hell in a Cell match, and I think it is a better match, so I'm going for the Undertaker at Bad Blood as my pick. So that is 2-1 to the Undertaker at Bad Blood. And we have spent 30 minutes so far on three matches, so we've got to get cracking. The next matchup is Triple H from SummerSlam 2002, which was picked by Matt against Chris Benoit, and Triple H from WrestleMania 20, which was picked by... Oh, it was you, Alex.
Well, as far as triple threat matches go, and I'm not a big lover of triple threat matches, it's a phenomenal piece of work. Obviously, preface it with the fact that Benoit wins, but we haven't got time to go into all that. He's a scumbag. We'll move on. But the actual match itself is incredible. And sure, I remember at the time when Benoit won the Rumble and he went over to Raw to challenge the Triple H, and Shawn Michaels was nowhere to be seen in this. And all of a sudden Shawn Michaels was included because he super kicked and signed the contract or whatever it was. And I remember at the time thinking it's not needed, but it is massively needed, because I think the Benoit Triple H match, if it was a one-on-one, probably would have been fucking quite boring. And Shawn Michaels' inclusion in this match makes it a absolutely phenomenal match. It's a great match. One of the best triple threat matches in Mania history, if not the best. Probably one of the best triple threat matches of all time, really. It's a cracking little match. But then so's the SummerSlam one.
The SummerSlam 2002 match against Triple H is one that we talked about before because Tom doesn't rate it at all. But I think it was a case of where someone had watched something after everyone told him it was really good. And then he was like, well, it was all right. But it wasn't that great. Like, I remember that exact same reaction, for example, when I saw the Wayne Rooney overhead kick against Man City live and was like, oh, my God, that's incredible. Not actually in the stadium, but like I was watching it on TV. And I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. And then I told, may have been both you, old man, and Tom back, because it was when we were living together. It might actually have been Johnny. I seem to remember Johnny being there. But anyway, so it was amazing. They saw it and was like, oh, it was all right. And I was like, I'm fucking joking. It's an amazing goal. That's incredible. And yeah, so I think that's what happened. I think that match is brilliant, the Triple H SummerSlam 2002 match, because there feels like a real jeopardy to it. They really play into the fact that Shawn Michaels has been out with a back injury for the last 4.5 years, regardless of whether or not that was a legitimate one or not. They managed to play on that. And whilst I was watching it the first time, and I think whilst the crowd were watching it for the first time, they were like, fuck, yeah, this is really dangerous. This is a real like everything he does. And the way they play on it was that Triple H looks like he's taking it a little bit easy on him occasionally during the match. There's a backbreaker, I seem to remember, quite early in the match, where it really feels like he's trying not to lay it in. And so it makes you feel like the jeopardy is really there, because Triple H seems to, in one breath, not be quite so rough with him. And then in another, he's working over the back. It's just a really strange match in terms of the psychology of it. But I always thought it was phenomenal. And I guess there's also that question at the time, with Shawn Michaels having not really wrestled for 4.5 years, can he still do it? And he was like, well, yeah, like he's not even been away. He can still do it. So I think it's a great match. I thought I'd speak up for that one because we spoke about the WrestleMania 20 match when we did that show in the archives as well. It's a great triple threat match. No doubt about it. Absolutely great match. But it is a triple threat match, which I don't care for.
I've watched the SummerSlam match once and wasn't particularly enamoured with it. But the one thing I will say is that you had Triple H, not in his most fondly thought of period in terms of how he was behaving, I think, within the company. It was perceived from the outside. There was a lot of presence. Then you had, kind of to your point, you had a guy who'd been out for 4.5 years coming back. For me, at the time, it felt like a bit of a vanity project. It felt a bit like, oh, yeah, look, I can still come back and do it. Yeah. I'm going to do it with my best mate, because that's kind of like a safe pair of hands. And it never really hit for me at all. But like, the crowd are fucking red hot for it. And I did also, again, to your point, I watched it after the event. I watched it, oh, blimey, must be a year or so after as well. I think I just wasn't watching an awful lot, and I wasn't watching the pay-per-views. Whereas WrestleMania 20, I watched, I think it was the day after it happened. And that felt like a real celebration of Chris Benoit winning the title. And as much as Shawn Michaels very much plays his part in the match, and kind of with what you said right at the end of your little roundup, Tiggy, it feels a bit cheap giving it to a triple threat match. I'm struggling here. I'm struggling, lads.
Well, let's go to the vote. Alex, why don't you start?
Oh, blimey.
Sorry, I've just been finished off. what we're doing? What we're doing? Oh, fucking hell. And I picked this one as well, the triple threat, and it's fucking hard, this.
In fairness, you picked this after the other match had already been picked.
Yeah, I know. Right, I'm going to go... it's fucking hard, this. Fuck me. Right, I'm going to stick with the triple threat match, because if we're picking Shawn Michaels matches, Shawn Michaels' inclusion in this match makes it amazing. If Shawn Michaels isn't in this match, it will be shit. Absolutely shit. And Shawn Michaels makes it an amazing match, and it is an amazing match. The SummerSlam match is amazing as well, but I'm going to stick with the triple threat match. So, yeah, Benoit, Triple H, Michaels.
I'd hesitate to suggest if Shawn Michaels was not in any of these matches, they'd be shit.
Well, yeah, well,
in the main, they'd be one person. But no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. But you know what I mean?
Whereas at least Triple H, Benoit would have been an actual match.
Yeah, that's true. It'd just be Triple H walking around at SummerSlam with a sledgehammer. I'm sticking with it.
Good lad. I'm going to go for the SummerSlam match because of the story being Benoit winning that title. I think that if you had someone in place of Shawn Michaels, I don't think it would have been as good, but I think it would have still been very good indeed. And I also think that the SummerSlam match will have given Shawn Michaels, but also the company, the confidence to be like, fuck it out, this guy can still go. And obviously he then wins the world title at Survivor Series in the Elimination Chamber, which is one of my top wrestling moments. I absolutely love it. I love his reaction to it, the way that he hugs Earl Hebner. And I'm loath to say this, but it is true. Like, if his performance in the SummerSlam match wasn't so good, we probably don't get a lot of these matches. And it deserves a lot of credit for being a bit of nothing, but also a very good effort that may not have necessarily hit me, but I could appreciate greatly. And I think as a Shawn Michaels match, it's held slightly higher than a triple threat.
I'm going with the SummerSlam match, Triple H, because for me, it just means more to me. I never really cared about the... I didn't watch... So WrestleMania 20, my memory is that I tried to record it and it recorded only up to the Brock Lesnar-Bill Goldberg match and it didn't record the rest, and I never saw it when it was originally came around. We watched it retrospectively, but Benoit never meant an awful lot to me. Like, I thought he was a great wrestler, but it just, as a character, just never connected with me. And I think ultimately that is probably the big criticism of Benoit, is that he had exceptional technical skill, but just wasn't really able to be the main star in the company because he didn't have that emotional bond with most of the audience, or all of the audience at least. And Triple H, Shawn Michaels, just always meant more to me. I remember watching it shortly before I went off to university. It was like one of the last matches where I was still watching almost entirely weekly, every single week. It's always been a bigger match to me, a more important match, more interesting match than the triple threat match. So that goes through for me. Okay, so up next, the fifth match in the first round. We're still only halfway through the first round, guys. Come on. it is Chris Jericho at No Mercy 2008, which was an old man choice, against Mankind from In Your House Mind Games, which is one of Steven's choices. So, oh man, what I'm going to say right now is I've never seen the Chris Jericho at No Mercy 2008 match.
No?
So you're going to have to give me the proper sell job for this to have any chance of getting my vote.
So I will preface this with I picked it and a couple of my picks had already gone. But this is, I mean, Chris Jericho will bloody tell anyone this, but it was a feud that was meant to be one match that they then dragged out. They didn't drag out, that's not fair. That then lasted, I think it was 8 months. And it's a very, very good feud. Undoubtedly the best work of Jericho's career, regardless of what he does from now on. It's a feud that is incredibly personal. There's the now infamous SummerSlam, I think it is, where Shawn Michaels comes out with his wife, who I believe her name is Rebecca, and Jericho is meant to wrestling punch her. So pull his punch back, he absolutely wallops her in the face, like absolutely wallops her. And when he goes to the back, he's understandably a bit worried. Shawn Michaels is apparently ready to kill him, like absolutely furious. And Shawn Michaels' wife, Rebecca, apparently says, "Is that all you got, Chris?" Or words to that effect, and just breaks all the tension. And there is that idea, you obviously don't know how much is true in this, but they then wouldn't have had the matches that they had after that if that hadn't have happened there with rumblings that Michaels was so annoyed. He was like, "We're cutting this program completely." But the No Mercy match is the blow-off to their feud, not the blow-off that Alex has just had. But the end of it, and there's the incredible promo in the weeks leading up to it where the match is set and Shawn Michaels says, "Right, I'm challenging you too." And then he sets up a ladder, climbs up the ladder, and then goes, "A ladder match." And everyone's like, "Well, yeah, we got that, mate. Like, we got that." But this is one of those rare occasions where I was very much looking forward to watching this match. And I remember watching it on the Monday. It might have been the Monday, or it might have been later on in the weeks. Me and Tom watched it together with someone, and I can't remember who, and it wasn't you, Tinky. Obviously, you haven't watched it. But I remember watching it and thinking, that was all right, that. But being a little bit underwhelmed, I think, because of everything that I've just said, which is why I gave the contest, because I thought that the build had been so good and it was leading to this match. And I then watched it again, maybe 4 or 5 years later, and it is fantastic. There's so much drama in it. It feels so incredibly personal. It feels like they want to kill each other. Jericho, as I said at the start, better than he's ever been. I think at this stage, it feels like he really knows his character. He knows exactly the buttons to push for Shawn Michaels to react. And they kind of, it's almost like a greatest hits in a ladder match of each of them. And they treat it, there's a tremendous finish to it as well. It's just a very, very, very good match indeed.
So the Mankind match is another one I had on VHS. I was a massive fan of Mick Foley. And it's a very, it's a absolutely great, great match. Like, it is just brilliant. I mean, it's one of, Mick Foley talks about it in his book, is one of his, what he considers to be one of his best matches of his career. I think it's brilliant. I haven't seen the Chris Jericho match. I really can't, really cannot vote for the Chris Jericho match. The only thing that I will say about the Mankind match, just to kind of try and be a bit balanced, is that it does end in a cheap ending. They don't give an actual victory one way or the other, because they don't want to beat Mankind at this point, and they obviously don't want Shawn Michaels to lose the title. So it's like a double disqualification with people running in and attacking both of them. That is the perhaps disappointing part of that, but it is a cracking match. It really is.
Yeah, they're both cracking matches. Obviously, I'm a big Jericho guy. The feud is absolutely phenomenal. The only kind of downside, and I suppose that it needed to be a downside, because if they're going to have a ladder match, it's got to be for a title. But this is the one where they screwed CM Punk out of the title at Unforgiven before in the championship scramble, which I know Jericho became the champion, but I mean, I don't like shit like that. I just think, if don't screw someone out of a title like that. But anyway, and the Mankind match is, well, like you say, it's incredible. Fucking this is so tough. This is so tough, isn't it?
Well, let's start with old man doing the vote then. In fact, I'll start the vote, because there's only one way it can go, which is Mankind in your house, Mind Games.
Yeah, that's for me as well. So this is Shawn Michaels at his worst, I think, in terms of his selfishness and just his behaviour. And they make Mankind, they make Mick Foley in this match. Without this match, I don't think people still talk about Mick Foley, Mankind. Mm. We don't get all the amazing stuff with Cactus Jack and Triple H. I think it's fucking amazing. When Silver Vision started with the tagged classics, I know you were one for this. Well, both of you actually. Like, yeah. I started buying them, and then they had a big sale, and I remember buying this, and I was like, fucking hell, I gotta watch this. Because I can remember the match being good. The rest of the card is fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, awful.
Mark Henry's debut.
Yeah. So it's not all bad. It's not all bad. But it's fucking sensational. It's absolutely amazing. It's fantastic.
Full house. I'm a Jericho guy, but it has to be that match. It has to be. I'm just looking at the card now, actually. That is bad, isn't it?
Breathing a sigh of relief, because it means that I don't have to worry about Chris Jericho No Mercy matches I've not seen going all the way. So next up, we've got, this one's going to be a tough one, guys. Razor Ramon at WrestleMania 10 against Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 was put forward by Tom. Razor at WrestleMania 10 was put forward by Tom. So two of his picks against one another. I mean, look, I could talk for both of these, to be honest, because WrestleMania 10 is a cornerstone of my entire wrestling fandom. And Shawn Michaels Undertaker is, well, certainly the best match I've seen in person, and is fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. I think for me, look, I'll talk for the Razor match, because I think, you know, it was so early in my, you know, life as a fan of wrestling. And it was at the time, I remember I had a WWF in review, year in review VHS, 1994. And on that, Gorilla Monsoon is the presenter of the VHS. And he says, when they're talking ahead of this match, that this is the best match of the year, Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels. So even WWF in their own universe were talking about how incredible this match was. It is an incredible match. We watched it when we did the WrestleMania 10 review a couple of years ago now, and it still holds up. In fact, it holds up better than most ladder matches do now, because it doesn't rely on the ladder. It doesn't rely on there being a ladder to do loads of stunts off of. They do some things off the ladder. Shawn Michaels does a massive splash off the ladder. Razor takes some pretty big bumps as well. But what they do better in this match than I've seen anywhere ever before is just use it as a weapon rather than jumping off of it. They use it as a weapon so well. And they build it into a really dramatic match where you don't know who's going to win, which again, I don't think ladder matches accomplish very often. So given that it was in 1994 this match happened, at a time when previous to it very few matches had been as good as this match, it's a really exceptional piece of work. I'll let someone else speak for the Undertaker match at WrestleMania 25.
Go on, Rockstar.
Well, I'm just looking back at the first match that we talked about, and I said about the Razor Ladder match. Don't worry, because the other one is going to go far.
Yep.
And fucking hell, how foolish do I sound now? And also, you two, along with Tom, went to this WrestleMania, and you went to 26, and you've seen both these matches live. That is incredible. In both the Taker matches, not both these matches, but you know what I mean? That's just incredible.
Just incredible one, isn't it, mate?
It would have been a triple threat match then, wouldn't it? We don't like triple threat matches. Yeah. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker versus just incredible. I mean, it's a masterpiece. Probably the greatest wrestling match of all time. Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon is also absolutely amazing, but it's just tough that it's up against The Undertaker in my eyes. This 25 match is absolutely phenomenal. I know which way I'm going, and I think I know which way everyone's going, and I'm just gutted that it's up against this match. But, I mean, you can't vote any other.
Right, spoilers, Alex. Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. This is...
Shayna Baszler.
Stephen Coriander's ringing me. One minute. Listen, fuck off. You're not on this show talking about Shawn Michaels, right? Just piss off, right? When it's Will Ospreay, you can come back on. Stop mithering me. Right, bye. Sorry about that. Put it on silent. Anyway, Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. What a match. Fucking amazing.
Wow. Okay. Oh, man, did you want to say anything or did you want to go straight to the vote?
No, I'll hold off. WrestleMania 25.
Cool. I'm going WrestleMania 25 too.
Yeah, it follows.
It is unfortunate that they
very
came up against that. There we go. That means The Undertaker has three matches in the quarterfinals.
Right. So he's got almost as many as Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Right, next up, Chris Jericho from WrestleMania 19.
Here we go.
Against Hulk Hogan from SummerSlam 2005. Now, the Chris Jericho match at WrestleMania 19 was selected by Matt, and the Hogan match was selected by Tom. So Tom had the first three picks, and he chose Hulk Hogan in the first three picks. And in case anyone didn't get what I was trying to say there, is that there's absolutely no way I could back Hulk Hogan's match, the match with Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 2005, because I think I've only watched it once and I can't really remember anything about it other than obviously the overselling. And I don't think the Chris Jericho WrestleMania 19 match is a classic, but there you go. You've got my opinion on them.
Wow, can't argue with that. Well, I'm not going to steal Rockstar's thunder, so I'll talk about Shawn Michaels Hogan from SummerSlam. Now, this is infamous, for those who don't know, for there apparently being, I mean, the irony, given what you know of Brett and Sean, was that this was going to be a couple of matches, possibly a trio of matches between Hogan and Michaels, and Hogan basically reneged on that, knowing that he was going over at SummerSlam and then was like, yeah, I'm actually not going to do any more. Now, as a result of
by the way, I actually really like this. I love that because he just Michaels deserved it. Basically.
Yeah, and what you get is Shawn Michaels acting, let's be honest, extraordinarily unprofessionally in this match. He is overselling like nobody's business. And this is arguably the third biggest show of the year for WWE, especially at this time.
Yeah, I'd say it's arguably the second at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And this is the main event. And it is absolutely stupid, but it is also tremendously entertaining. But I don't think it deserves to go any further than it is here. And this time, I could have told you a month out that Tom would pick this, because we have had a great time watching this a few times. I just feel like it doesn't really have a place in amongst the others, even though it's against a match with Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho is light years. Light years. Behind Kenny Omega.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Hulk Hogan. I was getting excited. I mean, I agree completely. It doesn't deserve to go any further. It's kind of entertaining as a one-off spectacle for whatever reason, but it is massively, it is really unprofessional for, whatever reason. And it doesn't hold stock with the other matches in this bracket at all. So, I know where my vote's going, and just to save time, I'll gush over Jericho match in the quarterfinal.
Cool. So are we all voting for Chris Jericho?
Yeah. Well, I am.
Cool. 3-0. Lovely. Move on. Final match in the first round. It's Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21 against Bret Hart at Survivor Series 1992. So Kurt Angle. Oh. Kurt Angle was nominated by you, Alex, and Brett was nominated by Stephen. So this is an interesting one for me because I'm not as big a fan of the Shawn Michaels Kurt Angle match as most people. Like, I think it's a really great match. I just don't love it. Similarly, I guess, the way I feel about Jericho at WrestleMania 19, I just don't. It's a really, really good match, but I just don't love it, you know? And the Bret Hart match, the Survivor Series 92 match, is the best match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels there is. I mean, the Survivor Series 97 match would be if it wasn't obviously ended the way it ended. This is the best match they have, in my opinion. And I don't love it either. Like, it feels like such a waste that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart never actually had the great match that they should have had at some point in their careers. But they just never did it because of, you know, circumstance and all kinds of stuff. And I just don't think by 1992, Shawn Michaels was there. He wasn't at the level that he would ultimately be in the end. So this is a difficult one for me because I'm not passionately behind either of these matches.
I mean, I've seen the Bret Hart match, but it's a long time ago and I couldn't tell you anything about it, to be honest with you. The Kurt Angle match at 21 is incredible. I love the ending where he's got the ankle lock on for, it seems like, a hell of a long time, and it just adds up the drama before the tap at the end, which even watching at the time, I was quite shocked at it. I didn't expect Shawn Michaels to tap out at all. But, I mean, they just work so well together. They work so well together. I mean, Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle in it, you know, they can work with anyone. I have definitely seen Survivor Series 92 one because I've got them all on DVD, so I've definitely seen it, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. It probably is the best match that they've done because 97 has got that ending and fucking WrestleMania 12 is the biggest pile of dog shit ever. And that was the opportunity for them to have the classic match, and they fucked up by making it a 0-0 iron match. If they'd have actually given it a loads of falls, it'd have been phenomenal, that match.
Or just done a 35-minute match and not.
Yeah, well, yeah, possibly. Yeah, possibly. But anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle will be getting my vote.
Or doing an hour-long match between Bret and Shawn Michaels, just not making it an Iron Man match. That might work as well.
Yeah, I think that would have even been boring. It's so fucking boring, that match. That's my worst match. Sorry, that's my worst match ever, that match. Because I'd watch any other match other than that.
I'll be sending you Bob Backlund versus Greg Valentine in a 60-minute time limit draw then.
I'll watch it.
Oh, man, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, so 1992 Survivor Series, have not watched it for decades, to be honest. Don't know naff all about it, so it's not getting my vote. But I want to touch on a point that Matthew made in reviewing WrestleMania 21, in that there is a phase early in the match where Shawn Michaels out-wrestles Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and it drove me mad that they had the audacity to do that. But what they then do is they have an absolutely brilliant match. I'm kind of with you, Tiki. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I don't think it's a classic. Having watched it when I was going through all the manias during the first lockdown, I don't think it's an absolute classic, and I don't think it holds up particularly well. I think also because I kind of have read what Angle was going through at this point, and I think that does kind of colour my opinion on the match itself, because I just have extraordinary sympathy for Kurt Angle. But it is getting my vote, but probably by default, I think. I think we've almost going to have the second round default, which is Jericho Michaels and this match, possibly.
So I'm voting for Kurt Angle. I think you two both are, so that's Kurt Angle through. And so we've got our quarterfinal set. So hopefully things will move along much faster now because we're out of the first round. We start with Sid from Survivor Series 1996 against Undertaker from WrestleMania 26. Does anyone want to add anything about either of these matches?
I don't.
No, so this is one person in Shawn Michaels who got a really good match out of Sid and another person who couldn't in The Undertaker. That's it.
Interesting logic. What's the votes?
26, baby.
Undertaker, 26.
Yeah, had to be. So Undertaker at 26 is through to the semi-finals. But who will it be facing? Well, it'll either be facing Triple H at SummerSlam 2002, or Undertaker at Bad Blood. Bit trickier. Anyone want to add anything about these two matches?
No. For me, one of them is important, but the other is iconic. And I don't mean Peyton Royce and the other one.
Billy Kay.
Thank you. Sorry, Billy Kay.
I nearly said Billy Kidman. That would have been a completely different tag team.
Wow, Peyton Royce and Billy Kidman, amazing stuff. Did you want me to go straight to the vote?
Yeah.
I'm happy to, yeah.
Okay, go for it, old man.
Bad Blood.
Yeah, it's Undertaker, Undertaker semi-final. Bad blood for me too.
Agreed. Another unanimous victory. Undertaker versus Undertaker. So you said earlier on, old man, that Undertaker's in nearly as many matches as Shawn Michaels. Well, that is almost definitely true. Yeah. Now, yeah, as we get through to the semi-final.
Yeah.
Next up then is Mankind from In Your House Mind Games against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. I mean, for me, there's no question. So I would be happy to go straight to the vote.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Mankind match because, like I said, because we're going to have to say goodbye to it now. It really was Shawn Michaels at his worst in terms of his behavior, but at his best in terms of how good he can work with someone to elevate another talent, which he really did this night. But it's WrestleMania 25, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is they've got so much more to work with. That's the thing. Like at WrestleMania 25, they use every single thing that they've done in their career to build the match. Like they do every single thing, like the Hell's Gate, the elbow off the top rope, the super kick, the tombstone, the choke slam, the last ride. Like literally everything they've done in their career they use and splurge it on this absolutely mental match. And Mankind had been in WWF for like 3 months by the time they did their match. I mean, it's not a fair playing ground, ultimately. I'm voting for Undertaker at 25.
Yeah, Undertaker at 25 for me too.
So the Undertaker's through three times.
Yeah.
Each one of them has been absolutely unanimous. It's the Undertaker going through. So who will face Undertaker at WrestleMania 25? Well, it'll either be Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19 or Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21. Now, I've already said I don't love either of these matches. I'll vote straight away and I'll say what I'm going to vote for. I'm going to vote for Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19. The reason is what you were talking about, old man, is that the start of the Shawn Michaels Kurt Angle match where Shawn Michaels out wrestles him. It does my head in too. It doesn't make any sense. No logic to that whatsoever. And it's something Shawn Michaels did on a number of occasions during his career and it pissed me right off. So I'm going for Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19.
Well, I need to open the floor up to Rockstar because he wanted to spaff off, didn't he?
Well, yeah, I did. Of course I did. It's Jericho at WrestleMania 19. Was my favourite match of all time. Everything about it, the feud, the match itself is, for me, a classic. And I love the angle at the end as well. You know, I love the angle at the end because watching it live when they hugged each other as a Jericho fan, you know, I thought it was fantastic. I thought, yes, like, brilliant move. And then kicks him in the balls and I thought that was fantastic as well. So it is incredible. In terms of storytelling, with regards to a feud, I think it's nigh on perfect, personally. I think it's perfect. The build-up's fantastic. The match, the aftermath. I mean, the Royal Rumble leading up to the match was fucking incredible. Incredible. Shawn Michaels enters number one. Christian's dressed as Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho comes in the back, throws him out. Fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love the Kurt Angle match, but I'm always going to go Jericho match for 19. Always.
Tell you what, I'll give you the build of the Shawn Michaels Jericho match, but the aftermatch was stupid because all the way through, Shawn Michaels is sort of making it clear that he absolutely despises Jericho because of the way Jericho acts in relation to the women in the WWE. And then suddenly they have a good match. Like, oh, I don't care that you beat up women. I'm just going to shake. I'm just going to hug you now. And I'm just like, that's just ridiculous. It's nonsense.
Oh, no, I loved it. I thought it was the babyface showing respect to his opponent and Jericho fucking shitting on him.
He showed respect to him because he fought well, but he still was a woman beater. Like that, and that was his central problem with him in the first place. So it doesn't, like, just because he fought well doesn't mean, oh well, all right, I just accept that you did that to those women.
No, I do get that, but sometimes you kind of got to suspend a little bit of disbelief with regards to wrestling, and in order for that feud to continue,
you're just letting them off because wrestling. That's one of my least favorite things. That is when people say, "Oh, it's wrestling. You've got to let it go." No, you haven't. Wrestling should be held to the same standard in terms of the logic and storylines that it sets as any other television show. It's simple as that.
But Coronation Street does the same thing. You'll have of course they do. You have Peter Barlow's cheated on Carl O'Connor loads of times, and then all of a sudden they're back together and fucking all happy and sorry again.
It's not the same thing.
Because
it's not the same thing, because they were obviously in love with one another. So they're, you know, and people do this all the time. People don't suddenly go, oh, we just had a really good fight, so I respect you now, even though you're still the same person I hated before we did that. And for the same reasons. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Ken Barlow and Mike Baldwin used to scrap on Corrie and they respected the hell out of each other. So I'm having it.
They didn't turn around and hug each other, did they? Come on, mate. Fucking hell. And not just like at near like decades of a feud between them, right? Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho, this stuff was happening literally weeks before. Like, it's just a stupid end to the match.
Oh, I disagree. So
right, anyway. we spent too much time talking about this. Does anyone want to talk about Kurt Angle, or are we just going to go straight to the vote, or what?
Let's go for the vote.
Cool. Well, I'm voting for Jericho, even though the end was stupid.
I'm voting for Jericho because the end is amazing.
I'm voting for Jericho because I think the end is absolutely fine. Not bad, not good. That's it.
Middling.
Yeah, middling.
that's a big shout out for it. It's middling. So yeah. Anyway, what that means is our SummerSlam. What the fuck am I talking about? What that means is our semi final. God, our semi final includes three Undertaker matches and a Chris Jericho match.
Yes.
So we start with semi final number one, which is Undertaker at WrestleMania 26 against Undertaker in Your House Bad Blood. This is where it gets real, guys. Now, I'm going to go back to the start and the fact that, oh man, you were the person who nominated the WrestleMania 26 match. So What do you want to say anything further for it at this point?
I don't know what I can add, because I thought I did such a beautiful job initially of breaking it down. I think this match is incredible. I mean, to be honest, I'm going to vote for the Bad Blood match. But
you're not supposed to tell us that now. You're supposed to dig in and then swerve us all.
No, and I'll tell you why. It's because this isn't Shawn Michaels' last match. I believe that Shawn Michaels, had this been a goodbye, he would have had the two. You could argue, actually, Sting, having watched the aftermatch stuff from AEW Revolution 2024, depending on when people are listening to this, those are arguably the three most perfect send-offs I think wrestlers have ever got. But Shawn Michaels fucked this by wrestling in that fucking awful Saudi show. And the match quality, I believe that the Bad Blood match is superior in terms of match quality. I believe that emotionally, WrestleMania 26 is more impactful, but a little bit of that emotion is just eroded by the fact that he subsequently wrestled. And for that reason, I'm giving Bad Blood the thumbs up.
Wow, I didn't expect that. So WrestleMania 26, it's exactly what you said when you were talking about it. It's like they've gone back to the match that they did at 25, but just raised the stakes. And I totally understand that him wrestling at Crown Jewel completely spoils it. So I totally understand that, but putting that to one side, it's this kind of the same match, but the stakes are bigger because you're either going to see the streak end or the end of his career. And it just ups the drama on that match. And I remember watching it live at the time. First of all, thinking, how are they going to replicate the match that they did before? And two, what's going to happen? What's the end going to be? And they do replicate the match because it is a fantastic match. You know, it's a phenomenal match. And it's edge of your seat stuff because you know that either the streak's ending or his career's ending, which obviously it doesn't, side note, but let's forget about that. But then Bad Blood. And the feeling that I had with regards to actually watching that match and being blown away by a video package of the fucking match, not the match. Oh, dear me. Tell you what, this has been the toughest bracket mania. There's no doubt about it. I don't know where I'm going with this yet.
Oh, stop your mithering and get on with it, man.
Sorry, mate. Right, I'll go Mania 26. Shawn Michaels Taker, Mania 26. Side by side, I think it is a better match than the Hell in a Cell one.
I am going to go with the match at Bad Blood. I think it's a better match. I think that Shawn Michaels' career before the 4 years is slightly underrated now. I think people forget how absolutely phenomenal he was for only not a particularly long length of time. Like, I'd say from about mid 93 through to, you know, end of 97, he was phenomenal. Like, he was just so good. And he was doing this at a time when WWF in the main just didn't have that many great matches. They didn't give the time to people to have lots of great matches, and they didn't appear as often. Like, I remember when people were talking about Brock Lesnar being the champion but not being on Raw every week, and I was like, that's always the way it used to be. Like, when Brett was champion in 94, you'd see him on Raw once every 4 weeks, if that. Like, it just wasn't there. So it was a time when you just didn't have the chance to have as many great matches. But whenever Shawn Michaels did have a chance, he had a great match. And the match of Bad Blood at that time, in my view, with perhaps the possible exception of Brett versus Steve Austin, and putting my own personal love for Brett versus Owen aside, is the best match in WWF history at the time that it happened. And I think it's phenomenal. And I think it's the one time when I think a an interference laden finish made absolute sense and was brilliantly booked, masterfully told as a story, and I had no issue with it whatsoever. It goes through to the final 2-1 victory over WrestleMania 26. Jeeves was in the other semi-final, which is Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19. Alex, any more to say for Jericho?
Two things. First of all, I'm looking over the moon that Jericho got through to the semi-final. And two, I'm over the moon that in the last match, Ben, you said the word "mither." So it's a win-win for me. So I'm voting Undertaker WrestleMania 25, but I'm so happy that Jericho got to the semi-final. And he'll say Jemmy-final then. Jemmy-final.
Well, Chris Jericho probably would, because that was his main gimmick, was just shoving his name into things.
Yeah, no, I never don't. I didn't like that part of it. Fair enough. That's fair enough. I never said he was the best. I said he was my favourite. But I'm happy. That'll take that Jericho in the semi-final. No problem. But yeah, for me, it's got to be Undertaker Mania 25 going through.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
3-0 victory then for The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25, which means we do have an all Shawn Michaels Undertaker final. Undertaker at Bad Blood means Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. I just want to reflect just briefly before, because I think we'll go straight to the vote. We've said enough about these two matches, but I just wanted to quickly reflect a little bit before, is that who would have thought that arguably the three best matches of Shawn Michaels' career would all come against The Undertaker? He's fought all these amazing wrestlers, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Triple H, Bret Hart, everybody. Like, he's faced all the best wrestlers of, certainly in the WWE for the last, or for that period, for what, 20 years. And yet, his three best matches are all against The Undertaker, somebody who, for large parts of their career, didn't work good matches. It just didn't. Not that it was bad. That was just a conscious choice of the company. That's pretty incredible. Perhaps nobody, even Triple H, defines Shawn Michaels' career as well as The Undertaker does. And so it's probably fitting that he faced him in his final match. Oh, no, it wasn't his final match. Well, I guess he did face him in his final match, didn't he? Even the one at Saudi. So, fair enough. So let's go to the vote, because I don't think we need to say anything more about these matches. Let's start with you, old man.
I'm going to be honest. I'm really struggling here. I need to talk through my thought process, because... Go for it. So 1997 is a pivotal year for The Undertaker, I think, in terms of how they begin to work matches. They have the really good match with Bret Hart at SummerSlam in 97 as well. And I feel like without this match, 25 doesn't mean anything like as much, because I think there is a history to draw on between the two. And this match, Bad Blood, is just absolutely sensational, because you could argue that it has the freedom to do what it wants because it's the first Hell in a Cell match, but it's also an incredibly hard position to be put into because there is no precedent and you are containing wrestlers. Like, this was a very heated feud and you're containing them so they don't have the old gimmick of going up the ramp and smashing each other with stuff going around the arena and stuff like that. And they navigate that beautifully. I think that the quality of the match of Bad Blood is pushed to the back of people's mind because there's the clip of Vince McMahon going, "That's gotta be Kane." And that's kind of what people remember from this match. And Kane ripping the door off the cell, which is amazing. But then you've got WrestleMania 25, haven't you? It's always going to be WrestleMania 25 because I was there and I lived it and it was extraordinary. And I now think it's actually quite a privilege to have been there. But every single time I have watched it since, I have got goosebumps on the tombstone kick out. And I think I will, no matter how many times I watch it, for the rest of my life. So it's got to be 25.
Alex?
So this is tougher than you think it is. Again, the Bad Blood match, it is the best Hell in a Cell match. And it doesn't work with anyone else, I don't think. I mean, it was Bret Hart the champion at the time. And if this was for a title and it was Bret Hart Undertaker, I don't think it would be as good. And I mean, I love Bret Hart. I just don't think it would be as good. You kind of trust them to get this new gimmick over, and they got it over in spades. It is incredible. And I was obsessed with watching this match from watching the fucking video package of it. And then watching the actual match itself, I was just gutted that I didn't watch it live. Absolutely gutted. That being said, the WrestleMania 25 match was, and still is, unbelievable. It is the best match in wrestling. The storyline with regards to Shawn Michaels wants to break the streak, but even the difference of the everyone wearing white to the Undertaker's black, just little things like that. It's incredible. And watching the match live, it was unbelievable. And I'm so jealous. I mean, I've never been to a WrestleMania, and I'd love to go to one. Whether I will or not, I don't know, but I'd love to go to one. But I'm so jealous that you guys went to this. So jealous that you saw this match live. It is incredible. What else can you say about it? It is the best match in wrestling history for my money. It's perfect.
So you're voting for WrestleMania
25? I'm voting for WrestleMania 25, yeah.
So what I was going to say is that actually the story for the Undertaker WrestleMania 25 match is probably the weakest, easily the weakest actually, of the four semi-final matches. The Bad Bloods feud is much better. The WrestleMania 26 feud comes out of the WrestleMania 25 match. But the WrestleMania 25 match barely happened. It almost didn't happen. It was going to be Shawn Michaels versus JBL, and I can't even remember who the Undertaker was going to face at WrestleMania.
I'll tell you who it was. Kozlov.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
Kozlov it was, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you may have, you know, and you may be sort of envious of us having gone to WrestleMania 25, but I'm just fully thankful that this match was there, because if it hadn't been, this would have been one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. I am going to go with The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 as well, but that's not to say that it's not perfect, because that story wasn't particularly great. Don't get me wrong, the presentation on the night was excellent. Like, it was absolutely excellent. The Shawn Michaels coming out in the white, almost coming down from heaven, and then The Undertaker kind of coming out in the dark. It was just a great kind of juxtaposition. But the story itself was by the numbers, basically. So, yeah, that's the only reason it's not perfect, but it's an amazing match. So there we go. The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 is, according to the Bracket Mania, Shawn Michaels' very best match. I'm sure there's something we've lost, we've missed or something, but and we're going to get letters. I know it, because Stephen, for a start, will be like, where's the match where he faced Kenny Omega? And Kenny Omega showed him up. You
know? I was just going to say, I think that's in Stephen's own personal spank bank.
He won't wank off to a Shawn Michaels match, would he?
That's true.
Well, I'll tell you something,
if Kenny Omega won, maybe he would.
Yeah, he probably would, yeah. I'll tell you something, though. That's three Bracket Manias now, and I've been the finalist runner-up three times. I picked the Bad Blood match.
Oh, yeah.
I picked the Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship and the NWO for the stables. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
There we go.
I need to up my game here.
Bracket Mania 3 is done. We've confirmed Shawn Michaels' best ever match is his match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. Guys, I'm going to let you go, because we've been going for way longer than this was supposed to go. So, old man, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. I hope we didn't break your heart, kid.
And thank you also to you, Rockstar, for your contributions. God, I'm tired.
Oh, no. Suck it.
Great. This has been the Random Wrestling Review. We'll be back again next week, where we start our coverage of WrestleMania XL with Night 1's review. But until then, take care.